Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you into the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, SteveJonesShow.com, and Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. As we speak, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, as we're just a little over 48 hours away from the start of the National Football League Draft, three-day event at Ben Franklin Parkway in Philadelphia. And, of course, WKOK and CBS Sports Radio will have comprehensive coverage of the first round on Thursday night between 8 and midnight. Round-by-round account of what's happening there from Southeast PA. So we look forward to that. And we will have some NFL draft conversation later today, as we will be joined at 4:35 this afternoon by Corey Chavis, the former Minnesota Viking, Arizona Cardinal, has spent 11 years in the National Football League as a strong safety. And right about the time he stopped playing football, he was really intrigued with the draft, really started to get savvy with preparation and learning each player's pluses and minuses. So he has become a really, really good and very underrated draft specialist. And currently with CBS Sports Network, he's also the creator of DraftNasty.com. So we'll hear from Corey Chavis this afternoon at 3:35 as we get you prepped for the draft on Thursday night, Friday, and on Saturday. Of course, coverage here on WKOK on Thursday night. We have that Thursday night since the Phillies have a day game on Thursday. The Fightins tonight start a three-game series with the Miami Marlins. The Phillies have won 5 out of their last 6, and Vince Velasquez, 0-2. His last two starts, against the Mets, so he's looking to bounce back tonight. Chen will go for Miami. 7:05 first pitch will be on the Phillies warm-up tonight at 6:30 here on WKOK. 6:30 airtimes for the Phillies the next couple of nights, and then they have a 1:05 business person's special getaway game on Thursday before Philadelphia heads to the Dodgers for the weekend, and then they'll come back east in early next week and take on the Chicago Cubs, as they will play Chicago at Wrigley Field early next week. Cubs with an easy time last night over the Buccos. Tonight will be Chicago and Pittsburgh. They'll also go first pitch at 7:05. Garrett Cole be on the mound tonight for Pittsburgh, and Hendricks will go for the Chicago Cubs. Got a full slate of NBA playoff basketball action as well this evening. Be 4 games going on this evening in the National Basketball Association. 3 games, rather. Oklahoma City and Houston, Memphis and San Antonio, and Utah and the Clippers. Hockey with the night off again tonight as we count down to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which will get underway tomorrow. The Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals. We knew sooner or later that was going to happen. Pittsburgh and Washington, they will crank things up on Thursday as they start their second round matchup. A lot of people think they call that a de facto Stanley Cup playoffs, but Nashville looking very, very tough on the west side. And actually, the top 2 seeds in the west side in the National Hockey League have already been knocked out. One of them
gone,
Gator, including the Chicago Blackhawks. And last year's West champion, San Jose Sharks, them too.
Gone. Kind of rooting for San Jose a little bit. I'd met Pete DeBoer when I was in Los Angeles.
the coach of the Sharks, because the Sharks were staying in the same hotels we were, at the JW Marriott there in L.A. They seem to know you pretty well there, by the way. You must have racked up some points.
What?
At the JW Marriott, they love you there.
What? You got me confused for somebody else.
They said, do you know Sean Carey? I go, yeah. I go, evidently, there's a bar bill you owe. No. No, I don't know him. I don't know him at all.
I get confused with the game show host and the comedian Drew Carey from time to time, so they had to have been thinking of him.
No, they described you pretty well. You had your picture up at the bar. Look familiar to me.
Another skeleton out of the closet today.
So did we finally get a determination from management as to who's playing in this golf tournament?
We have not, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to text Drew Kelly right now and get to the bottom of this. I guess Mr. Mexico had some other things they had to take care of first day back and all, you know.
Well, tell Jose Cuervo I said hi.
Yeah, I probably first saw him this morning as he got back. I said, hey, Mr. Mexico. He goes, buenos dias.
Beyonce, it's the only Spanish he knows.
Oh, absolutely.
did I ever tell you that story about the spikes?
No.
One of the bilingual players on the team. I'm going through the clubhouse, because that's how I enter the field. I go through the clubhouse and then take the elevator up to the broadcast level. So I'm going through the clubhouse. And I see the player, Jeremy Martinez. I go, hola, buenos dias, Jeremy. Right? And all of a sudden, he starts going into this long litany in Spanish. I looked over, I go, look, I gave you all the words I had. He started laughing. I said, that was the extent of it. That's all I know. I said, everything else you said to me? I said, you could have called me extremely vile things at that moment, and I just nodded and smiled. True story. Well, we'll have to find out from Drew as to who's playing in this thing. We had Corey Chavis on the show today, talking about the NFL draft, which I'm looking forward to.
I remember a few years ago, he and Brent Stover, they did play-by-play of the rivalry PSAC matchup between Bloomsburg and Shippensburg. It was a Thursday night game, and I remember Bob Buhner telling me he was at the game. Well, this Thursday, it was pretty much a quagmire downpour the whole game. Yeah. So, but he has good chops, good play-by-play chops, and even at the back end of his pro football career, he really started to take a fixation to the draft and preparations and learning player-by-player breakdown. What's good about the player? What's bad about the player? What could be improved? Mm-hmm. And he just was just enamored of the whole process. And that's what led him to create DraftNasty.com. And he definitely does his homework. So great to pick his brain here later today.
Well, you know what? It is the work that you do when nobody is watching or nobody's listening, that makes the difference as to what you do with this. So Corey Chavis probably takes a lot of time to look at tape, do research, and so forth when people aren't watching. So somebody came up to me today at Channel 3, and they said, what are you working on? I said, Montana basketball. They went, what? I said, Montana basketball. That's what I'm working on. Because I already did all the... I've done all 12 Penn State football opponents. I'm working on basketball now. Well, the payoff's going to be in November when they play them. I will be 75%, 80% ahead of the game. And we're at a certain time of the year where you're doubling up. And there are two times of the year where I double up. August into September, baseball, football, and then obviously November into early December. And then obviously around the bowl game too, football, basketball. Oh, exactly how much time do you think I have at that point to do extensive brand new preparation on a team? You know, how much time do you think? I mean, I'm doing this show. I'm doing a TV show. I'm doing the Thursday night talk show. I'm going to practices. I'm watching tape, things like that. Well, if you can take something off your plate, because the guy's height, class, and hometown are not going to change between now and then. Nor will his career highs change until they start the season up.
Well, there's a method to your madness. I know you like to get as much preparation done prior to, you know, minor league baseball season with the spikes, because once that rolls around, I know you want to give your energy and full concentration to that, so the broadcasts there are great as well.
And Corey Chavis sounds like he does all the same things, where he takes a lot of time away and gets it done. And that's why we have a guy like that on the show, like Bruce Feldman yesterday. Bruce Feldman took the time and went to a dozen college football spring practices. Now, being Bruce Feldman and being with Fox Sports opens the door for him to do it, but he still did it. He still can give you a comparison. I mean, I've told you the George Lapidus story, right?
I have not heard that story.
When Dick Girardi when did UConn win the national championship? 14? Down in Arlington, they beat Kentucky.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Dick Girardi was put into the U.S. Basketball Writers Association Hall of Fame. And I thought, hey, you know, there are various times where I've had honors and so forth, and Dick's always been there. Same thing with Jack. Jack's always been there, too. So if there's anything dealing with the two of them, I always want to make sure that I'm there, because they were there for me when something good happened to me.
2014, you are correct.
So I fly down to Dallas, and the morning of the national championship game between Kentucky and UConn. And Dick gives a great speech. I mean, just fabulous. And there was a writer for the Los Angeles Times that was put in. And then there was this other guy, George Lapidus. George Lapidus not only was a writer for the Memphis Statesman, where one of his co-workers happened to be Mike DeCourcy, and Mike was a big push to get George Lapidus into this Hall of Fame. Mike emceed the event. George Lapidus started out, he gets up and he gives a speech. Now, George Lapidus, I should point out, has an extremely rare lung disease. He is dying. Okay? So let's preface it with this. He had been with the Memphis Statesman, and he was on the city beat, which meant city council, the mayor, and so forth. And he explained in his speech that he developed a pretty good rapport, especially with the mayor and a couple of members of the city council. And he liked his job. And one day, the editor of the paper, the publisher, calls him in and says, we want to switch over to the sports beat. And he says, no, I don't want to do that. So the publisher takes a piece of paper, writes down a number, hands it to him. He looks at the number and goes, okay, what day do you want me to start as a sports editor? So his job, of course, the sports editor would be to cover especially Memphis basketball, Memphis football, but also to go around and cover major events, and one of them was the Masters. So he goes to the Masters for the first time, and he sees the legendary New York Times writer, Red Smith. So he walks up and he introduces himself. He said, my name is George Lapidus. I'm with the Memphis Statesman. He said, Mr. Smith, do you have any advice for me? Because I'm really new to this. Any advice for me? He said, I have two words for you. He said, remember these two words. be there. Be there. Now, of all the elements in sports where, of all the disciplines in sportscasting where you don't have people there, it is this one, the talk show host. The talk show host. How many talk show hosts do you think, quote, cover games? Or actually at the game? Make it to the locker room, the clubhouse, the media room, whatever it is. Get a perspective. How many? Especially the national ones. I mean, seriously. None. They never go. And they always give the excuse of, well, you know, I don't want to, have my judgment blurred by blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But of all the disciplines in sportscasting, this is the one where the fewest happen, where they're there. So I give Bruce Feldman a lot of credit, for example. I know not a talk show host, but as a writer, to get around to 12 different camps like that, pretty good. And we try to get people on this show that are there and covering things, not just sitting in the ivory tower looking down. My opinion is this. Have you ever met them? No, I have not. No. You know them at all? No. Ever been to a practice? No. Yeah. Do you expect me to listen to? No. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 33 Ford Escapes starting at $19,380. Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 new Ford trucks in the past 102 years. SMC is where you want to be to choose from over 4 city blocks of new Ford trucks. F-150 starting at an amazing $24,919. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new Ford Focus from $14,835. SMC is where you want to be for a 2017 Edge starting at $27,420. SMC has your next Ford Explorer ready to roll at an unheard of $29,835. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC, satisfying more customers, selling more cars. A tradition of trust since 1915.
Last pick in the 2017 Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament draft, WKOK selects the suit. Last pick. I asked the suit one day, I said, how much money are you spending on movies? He said, oh, no, matinees are cheaper. I don't know. It wasn't exactly the answer Roger wanted to hear. All right.
Movie Mike's there that time of day, but last I checked, that's his gig.
I asked Movie Mike, and he says, God, he feels like he's being stalked. I said, so you wouldn't be the first one to get a suit restraining order. In fact, they've got a whole bunch of them in the back of the courtroom. Just fill out the form, you're in. Tomorrow on the show, Garrett Sickles. You like that?
Love it.
Right for the draft. Garrett Sickles on the show tomorrow. So we'll get his feel as to the decision to do this and then the process to get here and what are the nerves like heading into three of the more important days of his life. Garrett Sickles on the show tomorrow. Corey Chavis on the show today. suit at Fast and Furious 8, which is currently answering all the unanswered questions from the first seven movies.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll be talking a little money here in a few minutes. And it's about ESPN's struggle. And part of the struggle is acquiring programming. All right, we'll get to that in a moment. First, this day in sports history. All right, and on this day in sports history, let's see here. Considering today is Tuesday, the 25th, yes, a little bit better than using the 24th. In 1901, the American League debuted, finally challenging the National League. Chicago beat Cleveland 8-2 at the Chicago Cricket Club. Sean's family, of course, members there. 1909, home run Baker hit his first and only Grand Slam. 1945, Happy Chandler was unanimously elected baseball commissioner. It was during Happy Chandler's reign, by the way, that the door opened for Jackie Robinson. 1951, the Soviet Union, the Big Red Menace, officially applied to compete in the Olympics. 1956, Rocky Marciano retired as the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, 49-0 with 43 knockouts. 1963, the great Bob Cousy retired from the Boston Celtics. 1974, Tampa Bay was awarded the NFL's 27th franchise. Ironically, it took them 27 games to get their first win. It's true. They were at 0-14, then they were 0-12, and then finally won. They beat New Orleans. 1995, I actually watched this entire game. What was I thinking? It was Holy Saturday into Easter morning. Peter Nedved scored the game-winning goal with 45 seconds remaining in the fourth overtime as the Penguins beat the Washington Capitals, the third longest game in NHL history. I watched all of it. Why, I don't know, but I did. Well, let's see. And 2010, the NHL implemented a new rule that allowed the NHL director of operations to review any hit where the head was targeted. And, of course, there would be supplemental discipline. That's this day in sports history. All right, how about some numbers now? Let me ask you something, Sean. They just have wild guesses here. How much do you think total, and it, you know, this puts you at a distinct disadvantage. How much do you think ESPN pays a year in rights fees for everything they carry?
Oh, wow. So you're talking college football, college basketball, NBA, Monday Night Football. Oh, my goodness. And I'm just probably scratching the surface.
Just a roundabout guess.
$800 million.
$800 million. How about $7.3 billion?
Wow. Man, I thought $800 million was, well, $800 million's $800 million. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Here is the breakdown. $7.3 billion a year in rights fees. They pay $1.9 billion a year for Monday Night Football. That's 16 games. 16 games. How about that?
Oh, my number covered what? Seven games?
Seven games
Monday nights?
You got it.
Wow. Man, that puts it in perspective.
Then when they carry... Now, okay, let's put it even to greater perspective. Between CBS, NBC Sunday Night Football, Fox, and then ESPN. In your opinion, what's the most valuable package there? Just in your opinion.
Reel them off one more time. Most valuable? Okay.
Of the NFL packages. CBS, NBC Sunday Night Football, Fox, Monday Night Football.
I would probably say Sunday Night Football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you look at the top 20 shows for the year, normally, in a normal year, 17 of them happen to be Sunday Night Football games. And that tells you everything about the value of that package.
Oh, and they don't wait till 8:30, too. I mean, they get a great lead-in with Football Night in America as well.
Well, and then, but let's go to the next part. Okay, the next part is this. Okay, when you look at Sunday Night Football, the matchups and the ratings, they pay $1 billion a year less. Okay? Than ESPN does. Up now, they pay half, $950 million less. For a better package. For a better package. How about that? All right. Next part. Okay, that's just Monday Night Football, $1.9 billion. They also then have to pay extra to carry the one playoff game that they have. And when you sit there and you look at it, they lose $75 million on the $100 million. They can't make it back. I mean, unreal. Now let's get to the one that really is tricky. They pay $1.47 billion a year for the NBA. And the ratings are off 14%. $1.47 billion a year for the NBA. The regular season ratings were off 14%. Now they, you know, the playoffs do well and the finals do extremely well. It usually outdoes the World Series. They pay $700 million a year in rights for baseball, $608 million a year for the college football playoff. They pay $225 million a year for the ACC, and that doesn't include starting the ACC network, which they're about to do. They pay $190 million a year for the upcoming year for the Big Ten. The Pac-12 is $125 million a year. The Big 12 is $120 million a year. The Longhorn Network is $15 million per year, and they lose money every year on it. The SEC Network is $700 million a year. Plus, they've now lost 13 million subscribers in 2 years, which adds up to another $1.3 billion in losses. Needless to say, they've got a problem. They've got a problem. Now, look, live sports drives the engine. We know that. I mean, look. Well, look at the model that we have. We have the Phillies, Penn State football, Penn State basketball, Eagle 107 has Bucknell football, Bucknell basketball. The Steelers are on the Valley. The Eagles are on Eagle 107.
And we don't get them for free.
Right. And then we're going to carry the NFL draft coming up on Thursday after we're done with Phillies baseball in the afternoon. Plus the billions they shell out on this show.
Oh, wait, what?
Whoops.
All right, I'm awake. Hello.
Yeah. But live sports drive the engine. That's what makes it happen. They're a sports network, and whatever you perceive the competition to be from Fox Sports, they can ill afford to still lose out on programming to Fox Sports. Correct? Now, Fox Sports is now going to have, as part of FS1, Major League Baseball, Big East Basketball, the Pac-12, and now they've got the Big Ten. That was a big get for Fox and Fox Sports One. That's why they paid the $240 million a year to get it. That's why they did that. And but ESPN has put itself into a big time hole. When you're paying out $7.3 billion in rights fees a year, now you haven't paid a salary yet. You have not even paid a salary yet. You haven't paid for a truck. You haven't paid for a camera. You haven't paid for a studio. You haven't paid any talent. You've just paid out the rights to carry it. And that's amazing. Again, live sports drives the engine. You got to have it in prime time. You have to. I mean, last night, the way everything played out in the Stanley Cup playoffs, last night there was no playoff hockey on. So they carried NBC Sports and had the car show from someplace. I mean, do you think that moved the needle at all? No. That didn't move the needle at all. So, I mean, they do understand that part, but did they overpay for it? There's a good chance they probably did. Again, you look at Monday Night Football. Why is there an $800 million difference a year between Monday Night Football and the CBS package, which is a $50 million difference with the Fox package? And then the cheap, quote, cheapest package happens to be Sunday Night Football, which is the best package. I mean, you can really argue the Monday night games. I mean, how many really good Monday night games are there now?
There may have only been one or two last season.
Exactly. And they paid $1.9 billion for that. I mean, why do you think you have the Denali pregame show? They're trying to get the money back. Why do you think they put everybody on location all day and deep into the night? They're trying to get their money back. Now, you have to, if you're going to be a major sports network like that, having the NFL has some huge pluses to it. I mean, let's not mistake that. But they overpaid for it dramatically. And that contract runs through 21 or 22 or something like that. That's not cheap. I mean, you look at CBS, which is paying, what, $1.1 billion, I think, is what they're paying. I think Fox is paying the $1.1 and CBS is $1.05. And that's, by the way, excluding Thursday Night Football. This is the Sunday package. There's only a $50 million difference between Fox and CBS. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, it's Fox. If you're talking over the next 5 years, they're paying $800 million less per year than ESPN. Think about this. All right. That's over 5 years, they're paying $4 billion more than the number two package. Over $4 billion more compared to the next guy. It's the NFL, so they all feel they have to have it. They all feel they have to have it. I mean, college side, let's face it. I mean, yeah, we've got Bucknell and Eagle 107, football, basketball. Doug does a great job with it, and that's exactly who we should be carrying. But you don't think that, I mean, you don't think WKOK? I mean, they want to have Penn State football on. Okay? They want to have it on. A number of people that tell me they listen to the games on this station, one form or the other, whether they're turning down the sound of the TV or driving around or whatever. I hear all the time from people that listen to Penn State football on WKOK. All the time. Again, live sports helps drive the engine. Having the Phillies on spring and summer, incredible. Live sports drives the engine. Now you're asking, what drives the engine on this show? Some would say digital media. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Just got some really tough news. Drew Kelly, who just got back from Mexico with beautiful Allie, okay, has shirked his responsibilities on the golf tournament. So now it's up to...
Uh-oh.
I really can't. I cannot really bring myself to say this.
It's up to you-know-who. I'm kicking myself for not being a golfer. The suit's now in charge, putting the foursome together. I'm just kicking myself. I wish I was a golfer. We'd solve this in two. We would have solved this 2 minutes ago.
Unbelievable.
I hear you.
I mean, it's. I can't even bring myself to look.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to show up and whatever, okay? and whomever's a part of the group is there. If not, I'll just hit a whole bunch of shots myself. This is going to be the only time I've ever golfed in something where the other people in the group were required to buy digital media to be a part of it. I mean, suddenly out of nowhere, somebody makes goal in May. I mean, it's just like...
Spring has sprung.
So what'd you think about those numbers, though? I mean, this is what gets me about... there have been certain things where ESPN has bid, and I'll give you one. It's the Olympics, where they put in a bid, and NBC's outbid them. But ESPN has always held firm in its number. It never bumped it up or whatever. Which I always felt showed some level of fiscal responsibility, right? And they've done this over the years. They've done the same thing with the NCAA basketball tournament. The NCAA basketball tournament, they looked like they had it in 2010. It looked like they had the NCAA basketball tournament in 2010. Because CBS was starting to lose some money. And I explained this, what, about a month ago, Drew? Sean, about a month ago, I explained about how TNT and TBS got involved, Turner.
Came in to save the boat from sinking, yeah.
All right, well, now they've extended the contract to 2032, because in 2010, CBS was on the verge of selling the rest of the package through 2014 to ESPN, and Turner jumped in, saved the day, and now they've got it to 2032. And again, this is another case where ESPN held the budget line.